Amen, church. Well, we are continuing our series on priorities this morning. So if you could welcome our lead pastor, Joe Source.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. See, it's still morning. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, moms. We thank God for you. Thank God for your patience, for putting up with all of us. Amen. Praise God. So we got a very special weekend. Not only is it a special weekend because it's Mother's Day weekend, but we also have something going on today that's going to be very special in the lives of certain individuals. We are conducting baptisms this weekend, water baptisms. Amen. Amen. And some of you say, well, I don't remember this being announced. That's all right. I'll explain to you in a little bit. But what I would like to recognize right now, anyone who's here today in this service that's going to be baptized at the end of the service, would you please stand up so we could see who you are? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, go ahead. You can be seated. Now, I want to explain this to you ahead of time, okay? Again, as we get into the message, I'll explain why we're doing baptisms this weekend. But I do want to say this. Any of you that sit through this teaching this morning, this message, and you have a desire to join us in baptism, okay, later at the end of the service, you are welcome to do that. Well, some of you are saying, well, Pastor, I thought, you know, you have to sit through a class. You're sitting through the class this morning, okay? And I will explain that to you. So if there's anybody here, maybe you've had the desire already. You made up your mind a while ago. I want to get baptized the next time you have baptism at church. Okay, you're welcome. When we've had people last night, this morning at the 9 o'clock service, just go in the tank with your clothes on, okay? Preferably with your clothes on, okay? Well, what I mean is just as you are. Now, if you have family members at home and you look, and you're not too far away, within the next 45 minutes they can get here, okay, you can call them and say, listen, go in my room, grab me a pair of shorts, grab me a dark colored t-shirt, something like that, and a towel, and bring them to church, and they can meet you here. So what we will do at the end of the service is we're having the teaching part, and of course worship we just had here, but at the end of the service we will be dismissing, and those of you that want to join, those that are being baptized, we're going to go next door to the youth center where our baptismal tank is set up, and we're going to go over there and conduct the baptism part of the service, okay? So again, if you're here and you desire to get baptized, call whoever you need to call, have them meet you here, bring clothes, or if you just want to go in as you are, hallelujah, we have extra towels, am I right? But I know when I said that, I went, oh my God, let me make sure. We do have extra towels here so you can get baptized. So how is it that we are having water baptism this weekend? Let me explain it to you, okay? What have we been teaching on? What is the series called?
Priorities.
Priorities, okay? So the past couple of weeks, we've been focusing on the priority, number one priority in the eyes of God is salvation. He desires that none should perish, but that all come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes or no? So number one priority is what? Salvation. Okay, so I'm putting the notes together at the beginning of this week. And so number two priority in the life of a believer is water baptism. As soon as we get born again, as soon as we receive salvation, when we declare Christ as our Savior and our Lord, the very next step for the believer is to be water baptized. Amen. Amen? So I'm putting all the notes together. I'm going, wow, this is a good teaching. This is pretty good. This is going to go good. And I get to the end of it and go, okay, well, what are they going to do about this message? Because whenever you preach a message, you need to give people the opportunity to respond to that message. Amen?
Amen.
So I thought to myself, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Tell everybody, okay, now that you know that baptism is a big deal and Jesus commanded us to be baptized, now wait until the end of June. Do you see my point? So I was working from my office at home and I got on the phone and I called up our leaders and I went, we got to do water baptism this weekend. And they're like, what? I said, yeah, we're going to do it. We can do this. God's in this. We can do this. And so that's where many of you received a text message or you might have seen it on Facebook or whatever and said, hey, if you want to get baptized, get to church this weekend. Okay? Last night we baptized 27 people. This morning in the first service we baptized 14 individuals. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot more by the time we're done at the end of the service you'll be baptized. Last night, one lady jumped in with her clothes just the way she came to church. She went right in the tank. We had literally one guy almost jump in the tank. So that's what's special about this weekend. So what are we talking about? Let's do a little bit of review, because I realize some of you are guests here today. You came because it's Mother's Day. Maybe your mom said, I don't want a gift. Just come to church with me, okay? Or moms, you know, whatever. However you got here, you're here. And so possibly there's a good percentage of people in this room today that weren't here for the first couple of parts of this series. So we're talking about the idea of priorities, because priorities is a big deal. Every day of our lives, I'm sure you would agree, no matter what season of life you're in right now, every day we're faced with the opportunity of prioritizing our time, prioritizing our efforts, prioritizing our finances, just priorities. Every day we're faced with these kind of things. Okay? Almost every morning, my wife, you know, we get up and maybe, you know, we're getting ready, and she'll say to me, well, what's on your agenda today? And I'll go, well, I got this meeting, and I have that meeting, and I got to contact this person, I got to do this other stuff, blah, blah, blah. I'll say, what about you? She said, well, I got some stuff to do in the office, and there's things to do around the house, or whatever it is. What are we doing? We're prioritizing. And so in our case here, really, it's not just in our case. In most of our lives, we have to make room for situations that come up that we might not have been aware of, okay? Interruptions, or we might forget things. I don't want to say that. Sometimes I'll forget that I have an appointment, and that's like a nightmare. A couple of months ago, I was supposed to have a meeting with somebody here at church on Saturday morning. I'm still in my sweatpants and with, you know, that raggedy T-shirt, your favorite one that you have. I'm like, what? I totally forgot. Oh my God. So what happens when we don't? When we're not intentional about our priorities, we mess our schedules up. Amen. Yes or no? Am I the only one?
Yes.
Okay. Do we understand what we're talking about here? Okay. Now, priorities require us to be intentional. Now, when you mess up priorities in your natural life, in your everyday life, it's an inconvenience. But when you mess up your priorities in your spiritual life, that can throw you for a loop. Amen. And we all know people, and there might be some of us in this room, that got our priorities messed up as it pertains to our life with God, our life in God, our journey of faith, whatever label you want to place on it, our life in the Holy Spirit. And at that point, it could take us decades to recover from those things. You and I cannot afford, you and I as believers, on assignment from God in this earth, and that's who you are, whether you feel that or not, whether you believe it or not, that's who are. God created you with a plan and a specific purpose to use your life, your personality, your character, your sphere of influence to use you to and not, when we say use, we don't mean he uses you and throw you away. In other words, he knows you. Psalm 103 says he knows our frame. What is it? He knows exactly how you are wired, and he knows exactly the type of person that's going to relate to you. And so he'll put you in positions with people that he'll be able to extend his love through you to them. He'll be able to speak to them using you and just be the God's grace to individuals that he puts in your life that nobody else could do it the same exact way.
Amen?
Amen? That's a big responsibility. Well, Pastor, you're the pastor of the church, and you know, that's your job. No, it's all of our jobs. Every single one of us in this room, God refers to as ministers of reconciliation. That means every single one of you have the responsibility. I should say it this way. Every single one of us have the responsibility to let God use your life to bring somebody that does not know him yet and get that person connected to God, his creator, their Father in heaven. God wants to use you for that. And if you're going to be serious about used by God, why is that important? Because when you get to heaven, that's what your reward is going to get based on. It's not going to get based on what big of an empire you built, what kind of career you built, how many pieces of property you bought, how many cars, how much jewelry, how much money you got in the bank. None of that stuff is going to, it doesn't matter in heaven. They make streets out of gold. They use gold for pavement. The stuff that we put such an emphasis on in this life doesn't mean anything in heaven. It means nothing in the realm of the kingdom of God. Yet we place so much, we put so much priority on that. status, promotions, careers, all these things, instead of putting it where it's supposed to be, and that is, what are you going to bring into eternity? And the only thing that you and I can bring into eternity is other souls, other people. That is the thing that that should be the major what? Priority in our life, especially in the season that we're in now. Listen to what Peter, the apostle, wrote to the church. In the first letter that he wrote to the church, 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
We're going to move quick today, okay, because we got to baptize people at the end of the service. So I'm going to talk fast. I'm going to need you to listen fast. Go like this. Tune them up. Listen fast, because I'm moving fast. Amen? But the end of all things is at hand. This is 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Peter understood that they were beginning to enter into the last days. Amen? We could go into a whole bunch of teaching on that, but that's for the future. But the end of all things is at hand. What does that tell me? In other words, pay attention, because what I'm going to share, Peter's saying, is a priority. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your what? Prayers. If there's ever been a time that the church needs to be praying, it's now. It's now. Why? Because we're at the end of the end of the end of all things. The end times began on the day of Pentecost. That's 2,000 years ago. We are now, 2,000 years later, we are in the last of the last of the last days. We're like 30 seconds before midnight right now. And I know people don't like to hear this, but I'm sorry, I'm obligated to talk about this. Whether you believe it or not, whether you want to hear it or not, whether you want it to be true or not, the truth of the matter is this: Jesus is coming back soon.
Amen.
Soon. I know not a lot of people are not talking about this because I don't know why. Maybe it's not their priority, but the priority is this: we need to get prepared. He's coming back soon. You see how quiet it gets? If I was to say, God spoke to me this morning, and every one of us are going to find $1 million check in the mailbox tomorrow morning. You see? But the truth of the matter is, the Bible states very clearly, undisputable, everything that Jesus said, every sign, every prophetic indicator that he said to look for before his return has already happened. There's not one thing left to happen before Jesus returns for his church. Nothing. Could happen this afternoon. Okay? I hope it doesn't happen this afternoon, because I made a nice lunch for my wife for Mother's Day. I said, what do you want to do for Mother's Day? Last week, what do you want to do for Mother's Day? Normally, past few years, we've been going out to eat, but who's going out to eat after service today? It's Mother's Day. Are you crazy? You don't go out to eat on Mother's Day. You're going to wait. They're going to make you wait. The service is going to be terrible. And then the food's going to be mediocre. They're going to bring you a bill that you're going to go, oh, my God, I can't believe how much this costs. Go Tuesday. So I said to my wife, now we're talking about priorities. So I said to her, what do you want to do for Mother's Day? You know, some of the kids will be over, the ones that still live in the area. And so I said, you want to go out to eat? She said, no. I want you to cook. I'm like, oh, thank you. I got baptisms all week, but that's okay. So she says, well, what do you want me to make? She says, I really like the way you make bolognese sauce. So I said, okay, bolognese sauce. All right, that's fairly easy. But watch this. Now I had to prioritize it because I'm going to be tired when I get home. I'm not making bolognese sauce when I get home. Because it takes time to make. So I had to prioritize things. So I said, okay, now, so we have to go shopping. We have to stop by. What kind of pasta do you want? So we went and got the pasta back there. Christine, where are you? Right there. And Ryan. Okay. So we went there, got the pasta. Okay. And went and got whatever other ingredients. We bought the tomatoes and all this other kind of stuff. Because I had to think about, okay, I have to prioritize this thing. Why? Because it's important to her that we have bolognese sauce this afternoon. Okay, so now I got to figure out in my head, okay, when am I going to do this? So I said, okay, I'll get the stuff together. Friday I'll make the sauce because that could stay. And then, well, Benjamin's coming over, our 2-year-old grandson, who the only thing he's eating lately, how many know the kids go through seasons? The only thing Benjamin wants to eat lately is Pop Pop's meatballs. So now not only did I have to make bolognese sauce, I had to make
meatballs.
All right, so I had to make sure I did that and get that and make it ahead of time and make the other sauce and stuff like that for these kind of things. So what did he require me being intentional about?
Priorities.
Why? Because it's important for me that she has the meal that she wants this afternoon. Yes or no?
Yes.
Well, God's got an entire kingdom. And it's important to him that you and I function in the place that he has called us to, operate in the position he's called us to, with the giftings, the talents, the abilities, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's on our lives.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yes.
So if we want to please him, then what should we do? We should be intentional about our what?
Priorities.
So we spent all this time, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase some review here. The last 2 weeks, we spent a lot of time on salvation. Now, I want to show you something. Let's go back to 1 Peter. We're talking about priorities. And he sets us up here in verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, what is therefore, therefore? Because the end of all things is at hand, let's be serious. Turn to somebody and say, it's not time to be a fool. I know it's tough for some of us to avoid that. Okay, let's say it again, because some of you didn't do it. Turn to somebody and say, it's not time to be a fool.
It's time to be serious.
Number one, recognize the season that you are in. Because if you don't recognize the season you're in, you can abort your season.
Amen.
And that's a dangerous thing to do. Okay? Look at verse 8. And above all things. Well, that tells me again. When somebody says above all things, what are they telling you? Pay attention to this, because what I'm going to say after this is important. Do you see it or what?
Yes.
Okay. And above all things, have what? Fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of what?
Sins.
So what's he saying here? And actually, you read this. If we were reading this in original language, it would say this. Have white hot. Like, you know when the coals are, when the coals are ready to put a nice ribeye steak on there. Okay? It's not when they're flaming. It's when they're what? White hot. That's exactly the picture that Peter's painting here. He's saying, you can't have the kind of love like that phony love, the phony love. Oh, hi, how are you? Mwah. Hi, how are you? Mwah. Really missed you. Yeah, I could tell you missed me. Okay? He's saying, have this white, fervent, white hot love for one another. Okay? Now listen, verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Yeah, did you hear the grumble? Why? Because that's not easy to do. But what's he telling us in this season that we're in? This is a priority. These are priorities. Have love for one another. Love one another. Don't just tolerate one another. Love one another. There's a pastor, but if you knew who I'm living with, I understand that. So pray for God's grace. To be able, because maybe the season you're in right now, maybe it would be easier to love that person if they were 1,500 miles away. But the fact of the matter is, we are commanded to love.
Amen.
Are you getting this?
Yes.
I should have never mentioned the bolognese sauce. Now everybody's thinking about lunch. Verse 10. As each one of us has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we'll spend the time on it in the future. A steward is a manager. I know we don't use that term anymore. But in Old English, steward, to be a steward, number one, was a place of extreme honor in the house of a person. And for a person to be appointed as a steward of somebody else's house was a major, major honor. And that was a person earned that position. Okay? Like if you read the Old Testament, Abraham. Abraham's a rich guy, yes or no? Very wealthy. He was wealthy to begin with. Then he meets God, and God says, I'm going to make you very wealthy. So Abraham had a lot of stuff. He had a lot of goods. He had a lot of things, a lot of people to manage, a lot of flocks to manage. And so you see a name pop up in the book of Genesis. His name is Eliezer. Eliezer is Abraham's steward. That position was so honored It was a position of a manager, an administrator. Imagine your household is that big and you got so much stuff, you need somebody to administrate it for you. But it's something that was, it was a position of honor. So much so that it was time, when it was time for Isaac to get married, Abraham sends his steward, Eliezer, back home to what we would call today modern-day Iraq or Kuwait, southern Iraq. He said, don't get my son a wife from one of these women around here. He said, go back home and find me one that's a good one. Now imagine you trust somebody that much, are you going to send them to pick out your daughter-in-law? The one that you've got to live with on every holiday and everything else and all this other kind of stuff. She's going to raise your grandkids. I mean, you got to have a good track record for that. Well, God is telling us that we need to be that much of a good steward, a good manager over the gifts, the talents, the anointings that he places on our lives. So don't you think that's going to require
priorities?
Yeah. In order to be a good steward, you're going to have to be intentional about your priorities. That's what he's saying to us. So, past 2 weeks, we've been talking about that number one priority, which is salvation. Salvation. Why? Because it's a big deal. Why is it a big deal? Because you can't afford to get this one wrong. Salvation involves where you're going to spend your eternity. Because we all live forever. What are you talking about, Pastor? That's what I'm talking about. You are a spirit. Jesus said that we're created, God is a spirit, and those that come to him must come as a spirit. Those that worship him are worshiping the spirit and truth. We know that we've been created in the image of God, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so what's the image of God? What is God? Who is God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So if God is tripart in nature, and we know he is, and we've been created in his image and his likeness, that means there should be something tripart. Tri, what does tri mean?
Three.
There should be something tripart about us. And we are. Number one, you are a spirit. This thing that we see, you looking at me, okay, and got this thing here that's carrying my spirit around, okay? This is going to stay on earth. Someday, either Jesus is going to come and get us, or we're going to take our last breath, and we're going to leave this body on the earth, but our spirit and our soul are going to endure forever. Amen. When you were conceived, you were spirit. God created a spirit. A spirit lives forever. Turn to somebody and say, your spirit is eternal. This dies, but your spirit never dies. What we're doing here today, some people in this room today are going to make the decision one way or the other where their spirit is going to live for all of eternity. That's a decision that you make in this life. There is no such thing as reincarnation. The Bible tells us it's appointed once for man to die and then the judgment. Okay, there is, you don't get to come around back again. We don't come back. Who the heck wants to come back to this again? You've got to be out of your mind, okay? There are no compartments in eternity, waiting rooms. No matter what name you want to call them, purgatory, limbo, whatever it is, whatever you grew up on. I grew up the same way, okay? They don't exist in the scriptures, okay? Those are man-made traditions. When you die, there's either one place or the other that you're going to go to. And it's going to be forever. That's why we're saying this is number one priority. You have got to decide while you're still breathing in this body where you're going to spend eternity. Amen?
Amen?
So by the end of the service, you'll have an opportunity to make that decision one way or the other. Okay? So the priority is salvation. Well, what is salvation? What does that mean, Pastor? It means this. Every single one of us are born sinners. Pastor, I'm a good person. I never hurt anybody, never killed anybody, never stole anything. Wonderful. That's great. Beautiful. But you're still born with sin nature. And that sin nature came to us because Adam and Eve, the first human beings created, turned against God, sinned against God, brought a curse on the earth, and that curse extends down till today. Every single person that's ever been born, okay, carries that. This is why you don't have to teach your kids how to lie. This is why you don't have to teach your kids. They're automatically selfish. If anything, you have to teach them to be the opposite of those things. It's almost like you wake up one day and go, did this kid go to night school? How do they know how to lie like this? How do they know how to manipulate like this? It's like, did somebody teach them while we were out of the house? No, it's human nature. Amen? It's natural. You don't have to go be taught that or anything else. If anything, we have to be taught the opposite. So we're born with this sin. We're born with this thing in us that we're automatically going to sin. And I don't care who you are in this room. I don't care how good you are. You could be a great benefactor. You could do all kinds of good things. It doesn't change your nature, and it's your nature that must change in order for you to stand in the presence of God. Amen. Because God cannot be in the presence of any sin whatsoever. He is totally holy, totally without sin, totally pure. So we got a problem on our hands. If I by nature am a sinner, and I cannot as a sinner stand in the presence of God, I got a big problem here. Unless somebody who is qualified can substitute for me and take upon himself the punishment, the death sentence that I have on my life, if that person is willing to step forward and God receives the death of that person as if it paid for my sin, now I got a chance. And that's exactly what salvation is. That's why Jesus had to come to this earth. That's why he had to be born of a virgin. That's why he's the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of this world. That lamb had to be sacrificed because somebody's blood had to pay for your sin and for my sin. And Jesus was the one that comes before the Father and says, I'm willing to do this because I love them that much. Knowing, watch what kind of love this is. Knowing that the majority of the population of this planet would reject him, he still went to the cross. Amen. That, my friends, is salvation. It cannot be earned. It cannot be bought. It can only be received as a free gift. Are you listening to me? That's why all of your good deeds, all of my good deeds, all of my good intentions, all of my being nice, all of my paying for the groceries for a single mom that I see in the supermarket, those are wonderful things, but they can never earn salvation. We do nice things and good things for people because we've received salvation. Are you listening to me? So we have to respond to God by faith. Faith is the only thing that pleases God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him because those that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay, why does God place so much emphasis? Listen to this. Why is faith a priority to God? It's because of this. Because it's exactly what Adam and Eve took away from God. When they turned from God, they took the faith and the confidence they had in him. They ceased believing him, and they believed the lies that they heard from the serpent, from Satan. And because of that, God has been after faith from mankind ever since that day. Why? Because faith says, I trust you. My confidence is in you. Faith levels the ground for all of us. Because, you know, the fact is, there may be some people in this room that are better than other people. More generous, more caring, more compassionate. Maybe one person has a lot more means to help somebody else with. Maybe they've got some resources that other people don't have. So there's no equal playing field there. It's not level. But man, when it comes to faith, we all have the opportunity to display faith. That's why we come to him by faith. Because it's the thing that he wants from mankind the most. He wants us to trust him, that he's got our best interests at heart. Amen. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Praise God. So, what's the priority after salvation? Well, the Bible tells us that once a person's born again, that now we're supposed to participate in this activity called water baptism. And immediately when I say that, especially the crowd this big, and every time we have a baptism service, you know, there's people here today, right now. There were people here last night for a service that normally you wouldn't come to church here, but you came today, maybe because it's Mother's Day, but some of you came to support the people that are being baptized. And I'll never forget when I told my parents 40 years ago, okay, I'm going to be getting baptized. Well, what do you mean you're going to be baptized? You were baptized when you were a baby. Right? How many people heard that? And so what's the answer? Because the fact of the matter is, most of them. How many of you were baptized as an infant? Let me see your hands. Yeah, the great majority of the people in this room. There's only one problem. The Bible doesn't tell us to baptize infants. According to the Bible, the only individuals that are qualified to be baptized are those who have made a choice from their free will to follow Jesus Christ. An infant does not have that capacity to make that decision. So because people say, well, Pastor, I was baptized as a baby. Now I'm born again. Do I need to get baptized? Yes, because that first baptism didn't count. Did you have a say in the matter? Were you even asked if you wanted to get baptized? Of course not. You have no say in the matter. And the Bible, the New Testament, is extremely clear. The baptism that you and I participate in as believers is a baptism of identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a means of identification. And we're just commanded. Matthew 28, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the
Father.
Come on, all you nice, good Catholics. Come on, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? We're commanded by Jesus to be baptized, and we're commanded to baptize others. Now, let me ask you a question. What do I have on my finger here?
Ring.
Come on, don't be afraid. What do I have?
Ring.
What is it? What does it indicate?
I'm
what is it? That what? I'm what?
Hey.
Now, I belong to her. And when we first got married, she made sure that I had more than one ring so that I could have one at work and when we went out. Would you show you what kind of person I was back then? Okay, so what does it do? When you see this on a person's hand, you know they belong to somebody, okay? In other words, hands off. I couldn't wait to throw that one in there. Now, if a person were to come into our service today with a full-dress Marine uniform, what would that tell us? They belong, and they're part of the service, they're part of the Marines, and that would identify that person. Well, baptism, and see, this is why infant baptism doesn't count. Number one, because we're not commanded to do that in the scriptures. Number two, what is that baby identifying as? What is it identifying for what? It has no choice. It didn't make any choice. You could stick that kid in the water for 6 minutes. It wouldn't. The baby has no choice. And we say, well, why did they do that? Well, because years ago, centuries ago, you know, when the mortality rate was so high and people most of the time lost their children very, very quickly, there was this thing like, well, what happens to our babies? And because nobody was reading the Bible and didn't understand the love of God and the way God operates, people thought babies went to hell if they weren't baptized. And so they come up with this idea, well, let's baptize them as infants. Amen? How many know what I'm talking about? I know I grew up in a culture, I don't know if you did the same culture, where you couldn't bring the baby out of the house until you had the baby baptized, just in case, God, what they said, God forbid something should happen. Right? You're not guaranteed where that baby is. Well, that's not true because God's command. First of all, that child doesn't have any sense of sin yet. They're innocents. So even if God forbid they should pass away, they're immediately in heaven. So to counter all that superstition and things of that nature, they decided, well, let's start baptizing babies when they're infants. It doesn't hold any water, no pun intended. It doesn't mean anything. It's just something that to satisfy the parents. It doesn't do anything for the baby. So the biblical approach to this is when a person receives Christ, at that point they should be water baptized because they're sending a message to the whole world. They're sending a message to God. They're sending a message before all the angels and sending a message to the devil himself. I meant business when I made this decision. That's why it's important to get water baptized. And it's important to get water baptized by immersion. The word itself in Greek, baptizo, means fully immersed. It doesn't mean sprinkle. We don't carry a water bottle. We have a tank full of water. Why is it important for a person to get immersed in water? Because you're identifying, watch this now, look at me, you're identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go under that water, those waters are like waters of the grave, and you're coming up a new person.
Amen.
Amen? It's important. Some of you might have got baptized as adults, but you got baptized in a denomination where they just threw a little bit of water on and sprinkled you. If you in your heart believe, hey, I need to get baptized again, please get baptized. Do it the Bible way. Full immersion. Amen? Because what are you saying? Here I am, God, all of me. Not just my forehead, all of me. When you were an infant, okay, they threw some water on your head. They put some salt in your mouth. They put a little bit of oil over here and sent you home. And you were led to believe, and your parents were led to believe, that you received salvation. You did not receive salvation. It is unscriptural to say because a person, a baby, was water baptized. First of all, they're innocents at that point. You need to get baptized the way the Bible talks about getting baptized. That's when there's a true spiritual, I can't explain it, there's this thing that happens. Anybody that's been water baptized will understand that, know that. I know, and you've heard me say this before, those of you who've been in the church, the day that I got water baptized, man, I was sick as a dog. I was just this close to cancer, and I even going to the water baptism. I was so sick. But, man, there was something that rose up on the outside. No, go, go, go. And I didn't get baptized in a nice tank like we have now, clean water. It's warm. I got baptized in Ocean County Park where the water looked like iced tea. It was so dark and disgusting, okay? And you're walking in here in the lake. I came out of that water. I don't know what something happened to me in that split second I was under the water. Man, I came up out of that water. I was completely 100% healed. Nothing wrong with me. Nothing wrong with me. There's something that happens. I would guarantee you, everybody's going to have that same experience. No, but some will. Some will. And so it's important that we obey this commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a priority. That you get baptized. If anything, it's submitting yourself to the will of God. Well, I feel stupid going in that tank. It's got nothing to do with being stupid. It has to do with you being self-conscious and possibly, maybe there's a little pride there. But what is my hair going to look like when I come out of water? I didn't have to worry about that. The important thing is that we submit ourselves to the will of God. And send a message. I meant it when I said that I believed in Jesus. I meant it when I said that I'm going to follow him all the days of my life. I meant it when I said that I believe that he's risen from the dead. Amen. You have to put some action to your words. Amen. Amen? Amen? So here's where we're at. I already went too long. So here's what we're going to do. Number one, there are people in this room today that need to say that prayer of salvation. You've never prayed. You've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are in danger that if God forbid, you lost your life today, you are not guaranteed, you don't know where you're going to spend eternity. And you cannot afford to play. You can't gamble with that because it's one and done. There is no tournament. There's no second chance. You cannot fool around with your eternity. It's that serious, okay? You need to say that prayer. You need to, I'm assuming that you know a little bit about Jesus. Hopefully I filled in some blanks for you today. But now it's time to come to the point of decision. Well, Pastor, maybe next time I come, are you guaranteed? Do you have a next time? I'm not trying to scare anybody, but these are the realities of life. These are the realities of life. We hear stories constantly of people you would never think they were sick, even young people, healthy as anything, and all of a sudden, bam, they're gone in an instant. And again, I'm not trying to scare anybody. It's not about scaring. It's about preparing. So, let me just tell you this. If you, in your heart, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you in your heart believe that he did die on the cross to pay for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of the whole world, if you believe that God allowed Jesus to be the sacrificial lamb that was slaughtered for your sake and for my sake, and if you believe that God raised him from the dead, then I invite you to say this prayer with us. We're all going to pray together for the sake of time. We're all going to pray together here today. Say this prayer with me. Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross, and I believe that you received his death as payment for my sins. It should have been me that died on the cross, I'm the sinner,
not Jesus.
But he went on my behalf.
I believe
that you raised him from the dead,
that he is alive right now,
and he's in heaven,
and he hears me praying.
So Jesus, I ask you right now,
I'm praying this prayer
in front of all these people,
asking you
to be my Lord
and to be my Savior.
I receive
your death on the cross
as payment for my sins.
I believe you rose again from the dead.
I thank you for forgiving my sins.
I thank you for making me a child of God.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now listen to me. Now be very, very intentional, but listen, because I'm going to give you a bunch of instructions.
Number one, if you said that prayer today for the first time, when we're done in just a few, not even 2 minutes,
when we're leaving, everybody else is leaving, I want you to come up here. If you said that prayer today for the first time, you meant it. Come up here. There'll be people standing here, and you tell them, I prayed that prayer today for the first time.
They're going to give you a Bible. They're going to find out your name. They're going to introduce themselves to you and answer any questions you have or pray anything else you need prayer for, okay?
Now, if you're ready today and you said that prayer for the first time, and man, it's made an impact in your heart, and you're like, I want to get baptized.
If that's the next priority, I want to get baptized. Then come and join us.
Just go in with your clothes. It's not wintertime. If you leave and you go in your car and you're wet, what's the big deal?
You've done it plenty of times. You go to a pool, go to the ocean, whatever it is. Okay?
Jump on it. If you know that urgency is there today, don't ignore that.
Don't ignore that. You're welcome to come and join us.
Now, at this time, those of you that are being baptized today, whether you stood up before or you're going to stand up now, stand up. Those of you that are going to be baptized, stand up, stand up, stand up. Let's do this quickly. Okay, praise God. All right. Okay. Those of you that are here to support these that are being baptized, stand up. Good, good. Those of you within our congregation that would like to see what a baptism is like, because you've never seen this type of baptism before, or you're happy for these people that are standing up and you want to join them, stand up. Okay. Everybody else, stay in your seats. Stand up. Okay, all of you that stood up, go out this door now. Everybody, quickly as possible and as orderly as possible. Go through that door, make a right-hand turn, go across the lobby and go into the new youth room where we'll be conducting the baptism. Everybody come through this door, quickly. Go ahead. The rest of you that are in this room, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today or you prayed it to rededicate your life to the Lord, please, when everybody else is dismissed, come up here. There's people up here that want to pray for you, want to give you a Bible. Amen. To the rest of you, God bless you. You're dismissed. Go enjoy the rest of this beautiful Mother's Day.